Blog Talk Radio.
You make me happy. You know I take a turn brighter than shines on you. You know there's nothing, nothing, nothing I would not do.
Woo, I'm telling you now, I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. And we're about to get this thing cranked up. Some of the young folks said, get it crunk, coach, get it crunk. And it's all about having a ball, using this vessel to move the word, get the word out, make it do what it needs to do when they get out there. You could be a part of this by calling in. We are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we want you to be a part of this. Check us out because we got some things that we're going to do. We're being broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and the call-in number for Blog Talk Radio is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line so you can share your thoughts on the sporting topics we're talking about. Also, we're on Facebook. That's facebook.com/DR. Check it out, D-R-L-D, Alberto Smith. And then also as well, we're on Truth. We always try to make sure we have at least three vehicles working. Now, you also can check out the show on the web link. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Or you can also tweet the show at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrow with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number 7, and at Coach with the K underscore L underscore Smith. Man, there's a lot going on in sports. There's some breaking topics that we sit here talking about games possibly being canceled. So the topic for the title for the show tonight is, will 2020 football season survive COVID-19? And that's something we got to think about. Like I said, that was some breaking news coming out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, finding out testing positive. Coach Nick Saban and athletic director Greg Burns. So we want to make sure you understand that now, what effect that'll have on the game Saturday between Alabama and Georgia is going to have some kind of effect because they don't have the head coach there. He's not going to, he's self-isolating himself, as well as the athletic director. Also, out down in the state of Florida in Gainesville, there's a big outbreak on the campus of the University of Florida in Gainesville, where they'll have canceled the game or moving toward canceling the game between Florida and LSU this weekend. So COVID-19 is not going anywhere, people. We need to keep in mind, we need to practice the safety measures. Now, when you talk about we want to play the game, these are the chances you take when you go out there and play the game. Either your coach, your athletic director will infect, or your large population of your student body might be infected by what we're talking about, COVID-19. So we're going to talk about whether or not 2020 football season will survive tonight. Now, what I want you also to do, take an opportunity, is that with your Facebook comment, let me know you there. Somehow I'm seeing people eyeing on the eye. See a couple people joining us slowly as we talk now. But normally they'll comment and let me know they're on there. So I appreciate everybody who's joining us and just checking us out. It's so good to have you. It's a blessing. As I always talk about this show, this is our first show under the Smith Way Production, which is under the umbrella of the Smith Way Enterprise. And we had this show kick off in 2017, September 2017, actually in August, but we got it kicked off really well in September. We was able to broadcast every week, and we was doing it at a different time. We kind of moved around for a second. Thank you, Audrey Bearden, for joining us so much. And that's Ken Folks. It's good for you joining us, Audrey. And took time out last time, we know connection was, and I think he was up in the Birmingham area, Jefferson County. So, Audrey, thank you so much for joining us on Facebook. It's good to have you here. But as we kicked off in 2017, you know, we started out in South Florida, and we worked our way back, end up back here in Montgomery, Alabama. That's where we're being broadcast, where I am sitting, but the show is being broadcast out of New York, New York. And that's where we are based at, and we are heard in 18 countries. We're so proud, and every time we say that, because we're in touch the North American continent. We have the United States, Canada, as well as listeners in Mexico. Not saying the other places, United Kingdom, Sweden, Uganda. We're having the Dubai. We just have, we're so glad to have those countries being a part of, those provinces and nations being a part of. So it's good to be able to come before you and talk some sports. As we say, the title of our show is Will 2020 Football Season Survive COVID-19? There's one thing we got to keep in mind. COVID-19 is going to spike a lot more at this time because we begin to get into the cold peak of the season. And the cold peak, because we're talking about November, is less than, 16, 17 days away. So we're going to be in the peak time. And when the flu season come with a combination of COVID-19, that is a real challenge. You got two viruses there working. And we have to take care of ourselves, make sure we build up our immune system so we'll be ready to go and do what we need to do so we can look forward to seeing, for sure, 2021. Now, it's been tough in 2020 for all of us, but we want you to also understand that 2021 will be even better. Let's end this year right. Let's practice the measures dealing with COVID-19. Let's make sure we wash our hands, make sure we use hand sanitizer, make sure we wear a mask. Don't let nobody fool you that the ordinance is gone. It shouldn't be an ordinance. It's going to give you an opportunity to at least protect you from the droplets in the air. So wear your mask. Then also make sure you stay 6 feet apart. If somebody walk up, just ask them to back up a little bit, because everybody understands what's going on. But sometimes people is all about themselves, and they won't think about you. You have to protect yourself. And make sure you do that. Make sure you protect yourself. You know, when you go out. The last thing is make sure, and I think it's the most important thing. A lot of people don't agree because she said, we got to get out, we got to go do things. If it's essential, you need to go, like going to work. It doesn't mean you have to go to school. Some schools are virtual. I know they ain't beginning to let the children back in school. You know, it's great. It's great to allow the children to get back to school. However, we got to practice those same measures. But the biggest one is stay at home. I know we can't stand it. We got to be out around people, but this is how this virus will spread, communicable through being out, being among people, for sitting in a place, close proximity for more than 20 or 30 minutes. So let's keep this in mind. We don't want to touch and blame anybody. Just say anything occurring, you make sure you follow the rules so you can put your finger at you, point your finger at yourself, because that's what we do. There's two things we want to focus on. We have one hashtag that always say, and we have shirts, and you can get your shirt. All you do is email me exactly your packaging address or delivery address, and they just gotta call you. I ask people just spend $4.95 for that T-shirt, and you can get the size you want. And it'll say hashtag One Life Matter, and on the back it will have our team for our Monday night show. We also have a shirt that's coming for our sports show. It has hashtag Responsible. All both of these dealing with COVID-19. And we want you to understand it. Don't get it confused when we say One Life Matter. We're trying to challenge any other situation dealing with life. We're just trying to deal and let you know one life really matters. So we're going to really talk about it. Said, will 2020 football season survive COVID-19? I mentioned the breaking news where the head coach at the University of Alabama has tested positive for COVID-19. Also, the athletic director. Then the big outbreak in Florida, where we have many students and some players, and the school is closed down because it can't operate with that many cases. So however we're taking this serious or not taking this serious, it's not in a hurry to go away. I'm not trying to speak something in existence. I want to speak it out of existence to the point that we know it's not going to go anywhere, but we must be able to prepare ourselves to live and live in the right way, and that's what it's all about. So we got a couple things we want to talk about tonight. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I will make sure you come on the line, share your name, your location, and then offer your comments, your expertise, however you have, and whatever you call your discussion, that'll be, I'm fine with it. We're going to focus on some sports. Now, understand, when we get to our coaches' corner and all our other faces, we specifically pick certain areas to focus on. We are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, so you're going to hear things about historical black colleges and universities. We also focus on high school and middle school athletics. But we do make sure the coaches' corner is touched on, because there are some things that we want to discuss. We go from the professional ranks all the way down to the college of a Power Five, Group of Five, which is not included in our branding. We want to discuss the Lakers winning their 17th NBA 2019-2020 basketball championship. A lot of people really didn't believe this could happen, but LeBron James said when he signed a year ago with Magic Johnson, because Magic's the one that was sitting in his house exactly at 12:01 to get in there and talk with him, he had said, we're going to bring a championship. So in 2 years, he have a championship in L.A. that gives them 17 world championship. Now they're tied with the Boston Celtics, and so they're battling. You know, it's literally just battling, trying to make sure whoever, you know, going to be the best. And at this point, the big talk is the Lakers being repeat this situation, even though the West is tough. So one of the things I want to focus on when we talk about the Lakers, the team that was put together. You know, it started with LeBron, and then last year he had some challenges with some of the young players, which they kind of shipped most of them out, except the one he thought was willing to give the greatest effort. And those individuals really prevailed this year, and they showed themselves out. You know, so we have to applaud LeBron for taking it. He asked for Anthony Davis. He got Anthony Davis. And Anthony came there averaging right about 28, 29, 10, and 5. That's quite a few. There's LeBron up there, 25, 10, and 8. Those players is up there. That's over half the points they have every night. So they are the star of the program. But nothing wrong with that. But the Lakers, you have to have two stars or maybe three to kind of manipulate, because you're not playing with boys. You're playing with men. And men study the game like you are. They're cerebral as you are. They're quite cerebral. And they understand what goes on when you're dealing with the court. They know everything. It's not a child out there playing as a grown man, because they study the game. They study the game. They want to be the best of the game. If you want to be the best. So the Lakers came to the floor. They went through that bubble. Yes, when they started off, they won the game they needed to win, so they'll be seeded number one in the Western Conference. And then they let up a little bit, lost three or four games in the last back end, letting people rest. So when they got started, they lost the first game in the first series, and they went from there. They played Portland and went and swept Portland 4-1, came back and played Houston, and they lost the first game, and they come right back, and they went through Houston, and then they got to play Denver Nuggets, a young team, explosive. They're looking exciting. They come in there, they jump, they played them, and got rid of them. It's a sweep, basically what you're going to say, 4-2, however you want to call it. Then they got a chance to play the Miami Heat, who went to the other side over there, who went through Milwaukee, who had the best record, had the MVP player back-to-back. MVP player back-to-back, Ginobili. And he's the man, but he can't do it by himself. And the Heat went through them, and they played the Lakers, and the Lakers started off looking like it was going to be a clean sweep. They came back and won a game. The Heat did. Jimmy Butler scored 40-plus points and come back and lost the next night. It was 3-1. It's two nights in, and then they come back and they just won another game, made it 3-2. So it was 2-1, 3-1, 3-2. Then finally, the Lakers decided to send them on home, pack the bags, so they're out of the bubble. Now they're back home with their families, a few family members are broken. So that's what it's all about. Creating a setting to be successful. So basketball concluded, however, is pushed back. The new season won't start, which is 2021, won't start until December. So you'll see a little different thing going on here. We want you to be a part of this. Give us a call. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. I just ask you to give your name and location if you choose to, and offer your expertise. We want you to talk about whether or not this football season will survive COVID-19. You know, talk about the Lakers. The Lakers, your team, talk about the Lakers. If the Heat's your team, talk about your Heat, because the surprise for them to get there, they might have been picked by some people, but not many. So that's how the NBA went in this past time frame, was about 4 or 5 months. They went 3 or 4 months, however it was, and they were able to be in a bubble where they had no positive COVID-19 tests. Results. And that's awesome when you got these teams in here and you have them in there playing to decide what's going on, and they was not. They had a couple of them step out, had one or two sent home, grown men sent home. So, you know, they got all the money in the world and they're going to go out and try to do what they want to do. Just think about people who don't have it. consider that when you're out and you see people that won't wear a mask, they want to just refuse to do it. They understand they see people with a lot of money won't do it. So that's what's the mentality we got to deal with. So COVID-19 can be here and will be here, but how are we going to survive it? We have to have a plan. We have to follow protocol. NBA did it through the bubble. So they're talking about the bubble to go with baseball coming up when they get in the playoffs, which they are in there now in the playoffs because the Braves are up, if I'm not mistaken, 2-0, and I think over there with the Rays, I think the Rays and the Astros, they up 3-0. So they're moving to having a East Coast final because the Rays and the Braves is right down in Georgia and in Florida. So we're looking for that, and they can move to that bubble for the championship game, so the championship series. So we look forward to see the bubble working in certain situations. Now, I am challenging the bubble. I think it works fine when you only have a few games to go. But when you have a full season of football, it's a whole different decision that was made by your historical black colleges and universities, as mad as people may get, was the best decision. Financially, it wouldn't have been a plus because the test was not affordable, and they really, truly, truly not affordable to be doing it 3 times a week or 4 or 5 times a week like the Big Ten is going to be doing as soon as they get kicked off next weekend or coming up this weekend. It's already coming up on the 23rd through the 24th. That's when they're going to get started there, and the Pac-10 going to jump in November 6th. So you have all of the Power 5 conference getting ready to play for the championship. So we was talking about the NBA. That's how that ended, and it's good to have an opportunity to see a champion, even though it's a champion old, who have been out of the setting for the last 6 or 7 years, but they're now back in the limelight with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The next thing we want to touch on in regards to the NFL, you saw some things happen with COVID-19 with the NFL. You had recently with the Tennessee Titans who had to cancel or move around a couple of games because they had several positive tests. Denver also had, and New England Patriots had positive tests with Cam Newton. They had to make adjustment and everything. So COVID-19 is not avoiding individuals because you have a whole lot of money. They're not, because COVID has no name on it. It ain't looking for a certain person. It looks for everybody that puts themselves in vulnerability. So actually, you don't put yourself in vulnerability, and a lot of players have a tendency to do it. So they're talking about the bubble concept. I am not in agreement with the bubble concept. This is my opinion. It's not the opinion of the shows, because we have other individuals who join us. As soon as they join, I'll make sure I introduce those individuals. But I don't think it'll work, because you're talking about, yes, you might have 32 some odd teams, but you have over 80 to 90 players on those teams because I was allowed to push their numbers from the normal 54-man roster. They have additional players for practice purposes in case somebody gets sick. But you're talking about putting these people in a bubble. And it's a little different than putting 12 basketball players, in a bubble. 12 times, maybe 8, 10, 12 teams. That's really, truly, truly is not what you're asking for. And I don't think it'll work. We just have to learn to follow the right protocol dealing with COVID-19. The NFL is making it their greatest effort because they're addressing coaches not wearing the mask correctly. The mask is not to be worn under your nose. It ain't what's supposed to be. It's supposed to be able to cover your nose. And you have a lot of them want to talk, but they got to learn to talk through that mask to kind of protect everybody out there. And we won't have a situation like the Titans, what we're dealing with. And have a tendency will spread if we continue not to follow the protocol. And don't nobody tell you that it don't matter. It does matter. So make sure you focus on that. So we want to know whether the bubble concept will work with the NFL. I say no, because it's not going to deal with the situation, because most of the time when people are not so much out in the public, it's, let's be honest, it's family. Let's keep it real. It's communicable because it's right there being spread among your family and not even knowing. If it's not in your house, if the family is not the ones in your house and anybody else coming around you from outside of your house can bring it. You don't know whether A system at it or who are, what they are. You don't know if they're a carrier or not. So we have to be very, very careful about how we're going to do it. And the NFL is going to do their best. They got the best testing protocol they use. They got the money to do it. But you see right there, they can't stop some of the cases. They literally can't stop it. So here we are in a magnified world situation. We can only do it if we follow what's needed. So the NFL is struggling. The NBA had some individuals who had set before they came into the bubble, Russell Westbrook. Then we had one player for the Denver Nuggets decided he was going to sneak a woman in there dressed like a man, and he sent him home. So you see, you got people with all the money not being able to follow. So in our society, we need to make sure. All right, we're going to move to the next topic, which is discussing the NCAA football week six. We had an exciting weekend last week. We had several games, and I'll go to the University of Alabama playing Lane Kiffin over there in Ole Miss. It looked like Alabama couldn't stop a cold. They couldn't stop anybody, but they knew they could outscore. And they scored, you know, they're explosive on offense. I tell my nephew every now and then, he called me, what are we going to do, Uncle O? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? I tell him, I said, you better come, you better be able to outscore them, because you can't outscore them, you're not going to beat them. Now, you want to be high scoring, they'll be high scoring. And I thought it was prolific. The offense was prolific 2 years ago with Tua. It is even more prolific with Mac Jones. Then we also had Georgia to hand it to the team that they had an opportunity to get after. Tennessee was successful this past weekend. LSU lost again, and this is probably the first time in history that the previous national champion come into the season and lose two games out of the gate. But that happened because you build up for that one team. And all those players that had an opportunity, had some players to sit out, it hurts you. You think you got the guys to fill in there, but those guys not going to perform as well, especially we had the situation of COVID-19. They actually couldn't practice. They usually would get a workout from January through March, and then go to spring training, spring workout, spring football, and then they'll get a chance to play TA, whatever kind of game you want to call it, spring football game, and then they'll be fortunate enough to go get a workout in the summer. But they didn't have this opportunity. Everything was held. So you expect to see what you see. It's a different year, but that's not going to set the crowning. Whoever's going to be the champion has nothing to do with what they say because of the year. Because they are working hard to get to the team that had the maturity, going to stick together. They're going to be able to play because they have talent. And along with maturity, they're always going to be at the top. They're going to be selected at the top, somewhere close to the top. So that's what it's all about in regards to the NCAA football weekend. You know, we had the situation over in Oklahoma and Texas. Hard-fought game. And it's glad to see that I won't call it a shootout. It's just a rival, the Red River rivalry. It was good. They went back and forth, and we applaud both of those teams for giving a great effort. So it's been exciting. It's bringing some sense of normalcy, but it's not the sense. We have to learn to accept this normalcy because even in the spring when they play in historical black college and university, the four division, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, it is still going to be 20% population inside, won't be tailgate because it's not going anywhere. Because the major health people said, even if you come up with a vaccine, that which one has already been proven not working, they're having some flaws with them. So they was talking about November. It won't be here in November. It won't be here to next November. And then you need another 5 or 6 years. And also, one of the things I think has been the talk, I've been checking out several people talking about this. They've been talking about their needing people to go through the pre-trial per the testing part and of every culture, every race. And we just not having many of our culture going through this. It's because it's a trust situation. Everybody got to understand. It's a trust situation. That trust situation comes back even with the Tuskegee test they did when they end up with syphilis, giving these people syphilis when they was telling them they were giving them a vaccine for something else. People just haven't forgot that, regardless whether you was back then, but that those kind of things carry on in our culture, and we're not going to be, and it doesn't help us if we're not part of the test, being the race being a part of it. We can have a few people. We need more. There's advocates for more, but it's got to be something of choice you have to make, and I understand that you're injecting something into your body that may not be able to respond in a manner, and it's always have some side effects to it. So keep that in mind. All right, the next thing we want to talk about is discussing the Big Ten kickoff. They kick it off on the 23rd and 24th. They're trying to get in, hopefully they can get eight games in and play a championship game. I truly think the schedule is really tight. It's going to be really tight because you're going into the cold part of the season. One of the major things I want to share with everybody here is when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided to just end and cancel the season, don't play, they're going to play in the spring. One of the biggest things wasn't that they didn't have really money for the test. What they tried to make you think, it was dealing with stats and statistical data dealing with flu season and COVID-19. Their flu season is totally different from our flu season when you're in the South, because we'll get down during the months of probably February we'll get cold, but normally even Christmas time, we sometimes had 70-degree Christmas where they compare, they might be 22 below and all that. See, that's the difference. The cold weather will keep it at its highest point. So the decision they was making in those conferences was good, because states that made a part of the Pac-12 is in Northern California weather is nothing like Southern California weather. If you think it's all the same, it's not. It's not the same. It's just like here, North Alabama and South Alabama. It's just like North Georgia and South Georgia. And even with Florida, you know, it's subtropic, pretty much tropic. It's warmer down on the peninsula, the southern peninsula with the Miami and the Fort Lauderdale. And it's cool up in the northern part with Pensacola, Tallahassee. So you have a different setup. But up there in that Great Lake region area, you have many of people that constantly numbers are high with the flu. So that's one of the biggest fears. So that was the reason why. It had nothing to do with testing. People can say that, but it had to do with the foresight of those people in leadership looking out, seeing we're going to have to deal with this thing. We may not make eight games, but we can't sit back and at the expense of everybody else playing. But sometimes you have to make that choice. You have to make that decision for the sake of life. Hashtag responsible. Hashtag one life matter. So the Big Ten going to kick off, and they'll be excited to see, and we really, truly be honest, pray that they can make eight games, but I really don't think they're going to make eight games. That's just my opinion because of the weather. It's beginning to drop off. It's cooler here in the southern part of the southeastern part. The temperature is dropping in the nighttime. So you know how it is up in Ohio, how it is in Michigan, how it is in Detroit, how it is in Chicago, how it is over here in Rutgers and over in New York. See, it's a whole different situation. And your body is a lot vulnerable up there. Then, even though you've been there all your life, you still have a tendency to kind of be able to have breakdowns if your immune system is weak. It can happen here, but the true matter is going to happen more so. Then on top of that, you know you're dealing with the flu, then you got COVID-19. And you will look, see, it's been some spikes in New York of late, within the last few weeks, where New York numbers were down. Now they're spiking back up at like 1,000 cases. And several other places, it's because the weather is changing. So we have to keep that in mind when you move further north. And that was something the Big Ten was considering, but it was so much pressure by everybody else wanting to see them played on, get them left out. So if they make eight games, we're going to be clapping for hurrah. But I just don't believe if they make eight games or only have seven games, that puts them in a position to be in that when everybody else can play 9 or 10 games in conference game. I can't see that. All you need is seven games. So that case where everybody plays seven. It's not like that. You have to make it where it be fair for everybody. That's my opinion. You have yours. Call in and share it with me. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1. Let me know what you're thinking. And I'll buzz you in by calling out the last four digits of your cell or telephone. All right, let's kind of move forth and look to the SWAC. Some information about the SWAC, which is the Historical Black College and University. And the MEAC, which plays Division I basketball. That's what we're going to talk about, a little SWAC and MEAC basketball. The rules been handed down in regards to the basketball season, which can start during the Thanksgiving weekend. They can play the first game. So tip-off with Division I basketball, just to remind a lot of individuals that The historical black colleges are the Division I level are the schools in the SWAC and the MEAC. Schools like Alabama State, Alabama A&M, Southern, Grambling, they play Division I basketball. Compared to SIAC, they still play the Division II basketball. So they're going to kick off on the 25th. They already voted to go that a maximum number of games they're going to be able to play is they can play until 25 regular season games, and they can participate in one multiple team tournament event. So they're going to have a chance to play probably 27 if they're in the tournament. Previously, they used to be playing a lot of those games and tournaments and sellout games. Those were some of the Division I team was doing. So they're going to kick off on November the 25th, but they may push their – some of the games won't start exactly. I saw a schedule with Jackson State today. Jackson State kicking off on December, the first week in December. So they're trying to kick it off and get this thing started. Also, for the women, see, men's a little different. Their schedule is going to be a little different than women. The women basketball team for the Division I, including the SWAC and the MEAC, they're going to have 23 regular season games, and they can participate in one multiple team event, which is a tournament, where it's up to four games now. They can play four games. And so the regular season will truly be in that line of 23 to 25 games they're going to be able to play. They also threw a couple of things in there talking about there's a sportsmanship requirement that's going to be implemented in this year. So part of the selection process, I wanted to bring that up because part of the selection process for the March Madness will be they're going to include what they call a sports sponsorship requirement. That's what I'm talking about, where, you know, the NCAA said if you want to be considered for the tournament, you have to play 13 games, and 50% of those games have to be against the top-level player, including your conference team. And that's how you're measured. You can't go pull in the Division II teams and get credit for it, you know, because of this year and how the things are going. And they said there will be some consideration of all 13 games. It have to be against another Division I team or opponents. That's what it's going to be in basketball. So that means if in your conference you have 10 teams in there and you play a 9-0 normal 18 games, you'll be fine because you're going against your conference team because you're Division I. You can't go down there and pull a Division II team like Miles, using Miles, Edward Ward or College or any of those schools, Clapton and all them. You can't do that and try to get into the tournament. That's going to be a little different this year. So look forward to seeing that going on. We also want to talk about primetime. Everybody is excited about seeing primetime in Mississippi over at Jackson. And primetime is doing some things. He's making an impact over there. He had convinced several players. First player, he offered a scholarship with his own son. They offered him a scholarship and a chance to come over there to play at over there at Jackson State, but he had convinced several players from the Power Five Conference, Mississippi State and Ole Miss and some of them out of LSU to come to Jackson State and play. So he's bringing a new light, and he was what they call a splash high. Prime time is a splash high. Everybody's going to follow. Everybody's going to see because they be on pin trying to see exactly what he's going to do. He also moved toward making a statement that you can think about. And his statement was in regards to money game. Said Deion Sanders isn't chasing money games at Jackson State. One of the things we always have our discussion on our show is about playing games where we get nice. You know, and I'm going to read what he is quoted as Deion Sanders said, Coach Sanders said about playing these money games. We always said, you go play these games so you can get that money. Yes, it helps your program, but you lose a lot more because when you're getting beat to sleep by some of these teams, you lose your players. When you're getting beat to sleep, you're going to lose money because you got to sometimes medically take care of those players where those players can't perform when they do get to their schedule. So we always said on this show, We need to help people put the meat in the seats, be ticket holders of the school of your choice, support your school, so we won't have to continue to step outside to grab some of these teams that really causes a lot of our players to have injuries that they can't compete in a regular conference game. And one of the things Deion said, he just said, we're not going to be chasing these money games at Jackson State. What do you call million-dollar games? He said, I tell you to come here, you tell them players, and we're chasing these million-dollar games to get beat down. And he's being honest, something that I always felt that way. He said, then you go back wounded and damaged. You got $1 million. You can't play the next game, which might be a SWAC conference game. These are the kind of things that have been said for years. Everybody said, well, they need the money. They don't have no other way to make money. Yeah, sometimes we have to come up with some plans. We have to do some sponsorship. We have to do that. I have some people that know more about that than I do, but the bottom line, I'll tell you straight up, I can say you can come up with ways to put that money in place where you don't have to go get beat to sleep. Now, it's tough enough playing in the SWAC. It's tough enough playing in the MEAC. It's going to be even tougher next year when FAMU as well as Bethune-Cookman comes to the SWAC next year. But it's going to be tough enough playing those teams in the SWAC. Then you want to go play that $500,000 and you lose two or three of your players. That key to you don't have that many players, and you lose one or two of them is the key to your whole year. So those are kind of things Sanders say, you know, he's not going to let it be that type of situation at Jackson State. He wants to make sure his kids are on equal playing field and they're not going to go into games where they're underdog 50 points or whatever when you look at that. So I like that attitude. Players will come play for you because, you know, he's speaking to players who probably wouldn't go there. I could go to Auburn or go to Mississippi or Ole Miss, LSU, go there. And if I have to sit there, I get a chance to beat the team that. But now these kids knowing they're going to be competing on the level with the FCS, which is the football championship subdivision, and that's a Division I AA, they'll be playing against them instead of going out here playing these money games and your players getting hurt for a few dollars. Set it out. Because I remember when I was a head coach of a program back in the early 90s, head football coach, and we was like 3A small class playing these large 6A schools, coaching in East Alabama player schools in Montgomery, the Carvers, the Lanier's, and then going out and playing the youth ballers and playing the ops. And we was just everybody homecoming queen. And unfortunate, it didn't do much for our players. Because our players couldn't excel at the high level. Some people said sometimes they compete, but when you know you're already overmatched, it's hard to do that. And that's one of the things Deion is saying. He's going to put his players in a position so they can be successful, and that's what it's all about, taking care of your team so you can win the prize. And possibly, if things worked out and all these changes come about, go to that playoff. Because it won't be a big deal about playing beyond date because everybody ended on the 17. Matter of fact, April 17, the SWAC will be wrapping it up because Alabama State will be taking on Alabama A&M University up there in Birmingham in the Magic City Classic of the Spring. Then we also will have down in Baton Rouge, we'll have the Bayou Classic. Then Southern taking on Grambling. Don't wrap that year. On the 17, they're ready for the championship game coming up. They got a week off, then they'll play the championship game. Then that's awesome. That's going to be it. They don't have to worry about going beyond where they came. So that still puts them in a position to send somebody to the playoff as well. Because for those conferences that are going to be playing in the spring, they still will have a FCS championship. As you remember, the NCAA, Dr. Mark Embry, said there will be no championship during the NCAA championship during the fall. So you don't have any championship now. Don't look at the Power Five because that is not operated by the NCAA. That's operated by the Football Playoff Committee. So truly, it's a separate organization dealing with it that they still have to follow the rules of the NCAA. So they'll have a chance to play that in the spring. So it's a good chance one of our teams that are in the area might be successful to go through the SWAC and get a chance to go to the playoff. look forward to seeing that, but not playing those money games, even though I know there's a university I know for sure that's trying to get a money game in the midst of these 6 or 7 games they're playing. And sometimes you have to back off and play with what you have so you get ready. And I remember you're going to come right back and start up in the summer getting ready for the fall of 2021 football season, because they will be playing in the fall of 2021, because we're going to have a better understanding of what we're dealing with now. That's why we got to practice the measures. Don't complain. Don't talk about what somebody else is doing. You do it yourself. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. It's, you know, we just had to be on top of it. Now, we're going to move to the high school. COVID-19 is a follow-up on football dealing with the high school. We had last week, we had about 12 teams to not to be able to play either counts or forfeit the game. So we have one additional football team that was added this week. That's Philip Campbell. They announced on Monday that it was canceling this week game against East Lawrence because of a positive COVID test. Several volleyball teams, because they're in the area tournament now of volleyball, Alabama High School Athletic Association. You have several teams who are dealing with coronavirus concerns. You have in the 7A, you have Huntsville. Now, remember, Huntsville was challenged throughout the year. They was being challenged because they was doing what? They was having cases with their football players, COVID-19. So they got an outbreak, and that weather up there is a little different. You have Dothan, another 7A school, that volleyball had to pull their team out. You also had Florence, these are 7A schools, pull their team out of the volleyball area tournament and ended their season because of COVID-19 outbreaks. 4A Jackson, because of some situations where they're not able to play certain people, they advanced onto the area 4 because a couple schools that no longer have volleyball because they're having some concern with COVID-19. That's Sumter County, which is Sumter Central, wasn't playing. They said they weren't playing in the fall sports from the beginning. I applauded them. Will Cox was not playing in the fall sport. You know, they didn't play this season. So that elevated Jackson, which is down there just north of Washington County down there, toward Mobile. So they're going to be in the area for winter pretty much, and they'll be playing. Then we have Class 1A, Otagaville, would be also the only team because all their other teams either didn't have a volleyball team or they dropped their volleyball because of COVID-19. They'll be representing Area 6 in the playoffs. So that's what COVID-19 is doing in high schools. Those are basic storylines. We want to kind of talk about some teams that are being ranked. Before I do that, we always try to spotlight a few players, and I'm going to kind of jump on those players a little early. But we want you to be a part of this. Calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I get you on the chat line so you can share your thoughts in regards to high school sports. We're not calling out a player in your area. You can call and make sure you share that what that player is doing. I do research all over the state to see these players standing out and doing some positive things. Now, let's look at some of these players' spotlight before I go to the state of South Carolina football ranking as of the 13th, the state of Tennessee football rankings, and the state of Mississippi high school football ranking as of the 13th. We want to talk about some of those teams that at the top of that class or that Super 25 are within each class. Some players that was recognized this week, we're going to give a shout-out for Catholic linebacker Patrick Ryan for the private school player of the week. Prattville quarterback E.J. Owsley is the public school player of the week. Ryan from Catholic as a junior had 9 solo tackles, 6 assists, and Catholic win over Pike County 13-12. Ryan leads Catholic defense, averaging 10 tackles per game. So he's playing on the defensive ball. We've been talking offense last week, but we want to give a shout-out for those defensive players. And then for Owsley for Prattville. He's a junior. He passed for 276 yards and 3 touchdowns in Prattville win over Enterprise, 35-28. So those are outstanding players of the week for the private school and the public school. But we have some other players who want to spotlight right quick. From Alabama Christian, quarterback Jalen Clark, 15 carries, 144 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also threw the ball as well. He had 10 completed passes out of 14 attempts, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So that means he accounted for 6 touchdowns in a win over Geneva High School, 49-20. Brantley Robert Shine had 5 carries, 145 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Brantley Luke Kilchrist had 8 tackles. We identified and recognized his brother last week. Then we also had Catholic running back Jeremiah Cobb had 17 carries, 160 yards, 4 touchdowns in the Knights 42-0 win over Chittisburg. Catholic wide receiver Miles Butler had 5 catches, 117 yards, and 1 touchdown. Edgewood quarterback Austin Champions, 17 of 31, 227 yards, 4 touchdowns as the Wildcats beat Chambers Academy 40-36. Highland Home quarterback Nick Diaz had 7 of 9 passing, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns as the Flying Squadrons 43-24 win over Central of Hainville. Diaz also had 8 carries, 28 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Highland Home tailback Darico Harris, 15 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown. Hopeville running back Drew Pickett, we mentioned him before, rushed for 96 yards and a touchdown. Hopeville linebacker Michael Forney had 13 tackles in the game. Hopeville cornerback John Wigginson returned an interception 70 yards for a touchdown. Montgomery Academy, Jamal Cooper, had 8 carries for 124 yards and a touchdown. Montgomery Academy tailback, Jayshon Cooper, 21 carries for 122 yards. Montgomery Academy safety, Justin Lindsay, 10 tackles. We want to give a shout-out for Pipe Road. Pipe Road wide receiver Harrison Wallace had 4 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown, 2 catches for 77 yards, threw a 44-yard touchdown, scored on a 95-yard kickoff return. The Patriots hand Hetland a mighty defeat, 52-0. Pipe Road, Krishan Judkins had 50-yard rushing, 3 touchdowns, and the Patriots win. Pipe Road T.J. Hambrick had 4 tackles, a fumble recovery, and an interception. Then last with Pipe Road, we have their defensive lineman L.J. McLeod had 2 sacks. Shout out for Montgomery Public School, Cindy Lemire High School. We have Takaris Bozeman had 18 carries, 237 yards, 3 touchdowns as the Poets defeated Russell County 26-17. Wetumpka Brandon Bozeman, 2 for 2, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns, threw 2 passes, completed 2 passes, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns as the Indians beat Chilton County 49-14. Then Bozeman also had 3 carries for 40 yards and a touchdown. So he accounted for 3 touchdowns. Wetumpka quarterback Robert Rose, 7 of 13 passing, 140 yards, had 5 carries for 23 yards and 1 touchdown. Last but not least, we have Wetumpka Rudarius Anthony had 3 passes. Well, he caught 3 passes for 96 yards and a touchdown. So those are the players we're spotlighting this week. We want to show and give a shout-out to them. If you family members, let them know we give them a shout-out on Talking Sports Plus, because we're all about high school, all about middle school. In the 7A, we're going to do the rankings right quick for the state of Alabama. The top team is Thompson at 8-0. Number two is Hoover. Number three is Auburn. In the 6A, we have Oxford, who's 6-1, and Mountain Brook 5-1. Clay of Chalkville is 7-0. Henson Valley 5-2. The 5A, you have Pleasant Grove doing some awesome things up there, 6-1. St. Paul is down at Mobile, 7-0. And Ramsey out of Birmingham, 7-0. We have in the 4A, you have American Christian, 7-0, ranked number one. Madison Academy, ranked number two, 6-0. Mobile Christian, 6-0. You're talking about three private-based schools right there. Also in the 3A, you have Fife, who won it last year, 7-0. Walter Welburn, 7-0. Flemington, which is down south, South Alabama, 7-0. We have in the 2A, you have Randolph County, 7-0. Mars Hill Bible, 6-1, and Red Bay, 6-0. In the Class 1A, you have Brantley, right down the road in Central, South Central Alabama, 7-0. Lindsay, 6-0. Sorry, Linden, 6-0. Maplesville, 6-1. And Sweetwater, 4-2. All of them right in the same area. Did Notre Soul coming up in fifth with a 5-1 record. In the state of South Carolina, top team is Dutch Fork. And their record is 3-0. Gaffney is 3-0. They are number two. And Fort Dorchester, North Charleston is 2-0. Dorman, Roebuck is 1-1. Sumter is 3-0. And that's their teams that kind of leading their division in South Carolina, state of South Carolina, during the week of the 13th, October the 13th. You also have in the state of Tennessee, high school rankings, Brentwood Academy up there in Nashville area, which is Brentwood, they're 8-0. Christ Presbyterian Academy in Nashville, 5-2. Pope John Paul II in Hendersonville, 6-1. Maryville is number 4 at 8-0. And McCall in Chattanooga, 6-1. So those are the top five teams in the state of Tennessee. We also have in the state of Mississippi, and we want to make sure we give a shout out for the state of Mississippi and that fair city up in just north of Tuscaloosa, Starkville, which is Mississippi State home. The friend is something about the Pleasant Village in the south or something having there. But Starkville, the city of Starkville, 5-0. Madison, which is Ridgewood Academy in Madison is 8-0. Oak Grove of Hattiesburg is 5-0. West Jones out of Laurel, Mississippi is 4-0. And De Iberville is 5-0. Neshoba is in Neshoba. Central of Philadelphia is 6-0. And South Pinella, which is out of Bateville. You got Harrison Central out of Gulf Shore. Gulf. So those are the schools that make up the high school ranking. That is not all. You can go to any site, MaxPro, and look at those schools and check them out. We'll share some awesome information with you all. We look forward to having you back with us next week as well. We're going to talk some more football. To just give a shout out to my team that normally join me from time to time. I appreciate each and every one. We have out of North Alabama, we have Coach Tremaine Edwards. Out of Central Alabama, you have Coach Lori D. Smith. She's our Lady of the Hour. And Coach Cameron Giver. Then down in South Central, you have Coach Tony Stallworth. And our radio personality, none other than Darryl E. Train Elliott, be joining us from time to time. And he's one of the Don King of all things. He's with 94.1, the Big KD. And check him out there. And those individuals will join us from time to time. We got several people joining us on Facebook as well as on Instagram. We have Tracy H_42. Thank you, Tracy. We have Shay _Boogie. Thank you so much, Shani Brown, for joining us on Instagram. We also have Audrey Bibbins, my cousin. Thank you so much. I was up in the area of Jefferson County. We have Richard Beam. Thank you so much, Richard, for joining us. We have Tasima Jackson, they call her Sunshine. Thank you for joining us as well. We have Nate, Inspire to Inspire Pickett. That's her ministry. We're so glad to have her checking us out. She has been with us a while, and I thank her so much because she came on our Real Talk, our first Monday night show. We had it on probably on a Tuesday night at that time, a Thursday night, and she joined us and talked about Inspire to Inspire ministry. She spent time mentoring young girls to be young ladies and adults as well. We give her a shout out and want her to continue doing what she's doing. We pray that she's successful and continue to touch lives of our young people as well as our adults. Also, we have here Brother Richie Bean, Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. So proud to have you, my brother, and that young man coaches cross country and indoor and outdoor track at Alabama State University. And even before COVID hit, he had won his cross country and indoor championship, another one. We got to say another one because he tell me, I always ask him how many you have, and you'd be amazed, this young man, in the time being assistant coach at Alabama to being a head coach at Alabama State University with their track program, their cross country program, have well up to 40 plus championships. Have the rings to show it. So we're so proud to have my frat brother of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, Brother Richie Dean. We also have another frat brother joining us. He has an outstanding training program, and you can go to his Facebook page, Bruce E. DeWall Jr., and you can check him out. Well, he'll train your son, train your daughter. He'll train you and get you where you want to be. He's a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. Dwayne Thigpen, Coach will be down at Hainville Middle School. And Dwayne, thank you so much for joining. Coach Thigpen, thank you for joining. Then we have Rachel Robinson, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, out of the fair state of Florida, Northern Florida, Tallahassee. Fam, you. She always said, go Rattlers, so go Rattlers. Thank you for joining. She remembers Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you so much. All of those individuals joining us. It's been an awesome night. We're about to wrap it up. So I want everybody to keep in mind as I spoke with my hashtag. I'm always, I have available if you want to get one of those shirts. I'd love for you to get the shirt that says hashtag One Life Matter. And it'll have our team on the back of Talking Real to You. Get a shirt and be a part of this because we're just trying to make things happen. That's all. We just said one life matter. During COVID-19, everybody life matter. No matter what anybody said at the top or said at the bottom, it's all in your hand to make the decision. The next hashtag, and it's so important, is hashtag responsible. Be responsible. Don't expect somebody else to tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do about protecting your life. And just do what's right. Hashtag keep on grinding. We just tell you to keep it. That's my hashtag. I grind and grind and grind. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And as we get ready to close out of here, we're going to come reach back a little bit. We don't want to write none of our songs that we have here, but we like to play them. And we enjoy good music. Everybody said, man, you be having a ball. I sure do. I enjoy myself. We're about to lose our people. It's about 11, 10 seconds on Instagram. Thank you so much, individuals on Instagram, for joining us. It's been awesome. You know, right, so get with it right now and do a little. What else say, you know, wipe it down. We don't own the rights to it, but we do appreciate you joining us. It's been awesome. Check us out tomorrow night. We have a Love Cafe at 6 o'clock, and you're going to love it tomorrow. The title of the show, Love is a Person. That's the title of the show, and we want you to join us. 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So when you do that, you think about all the positive things. I tell you, keep on grinding. But as I get ready to leave, I tell everybody, tell your family member you love them. It's been challenging during COVID-19. Give them a hug. If you have to send them a virtual hug, send me one. I'll take it because I'll send you one back. It's all about giving a hug because it changed people's life, and that's what we need. Tell them you love them. That's your family member, and be sincere. Be authentic. Just show because love is a person, and that's what it's all about. Love is a person. And that's what our show is going to be about tomorrow. We want you to join us at 6 o'clock. I look forward to having you. It's been awesome tonight. And as we close this place and this opportunity now, it's just so good to be loved and loved back. Because, see, we in these challenging times, and we got to realize We have to take care of each other. We have two additional individuals joining as we close out. We have Kim Sellers Bates joining us, and I post on my Facebook page. She's doing some outstanding things out of the state of Georgia. Check her out. Go to her Facebook page, Kim Sellers Bates, and you can just I tell you that, just go over there, and she got some things that are going on and with our organization. Outstanding, a very positive young lady who worked hard and deserved to get a flower as she yet lived. Thank you, Kim. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Got to give her a shout out there. We have Nicole Davidson. Thank you, Nicole, so much for joining us. Thank you for your service in the military. Thank you. And I am planning on coming out and see that son of yours to see what he's doing. So let them know I'm coming down to McKinsey. Check them out and see what they're doing. I want them to make it do what they do. It's been awesome. As we get ready to leave out of here, I told you to tell somebody you love you. My cousin telling me now, I love you, cousin, love you too. I love everybody that's on here. Because you know what? I always tell everybody, it's so important that I speak these words into existence. I love you, and I'll pay you to do it right.
White man, you already know what it is, you heard me? We still riding on the road, we still pulling up, man, look. I pull up at the club, VIP, gas tank on, even all drinks on me. White man out. Fresh chicks, fresh white, salty, fresh NFL hats, fresh bows with the grease. White man out. Wanna hit me with that real, recognized, real, don't speak. White man out. Chicken lady, I've been rolling about a week. You can tell I got cake by the diamonds in my tooth. White man out. Black shade, so you know what. Rolling, they ain't check me at the door, so ain't no telling what I'm. White man out. Bad. They gon' bust it wide open, flashing in the gray, but I'm in. They approach it. White man out. Small, tall figures, y'all crowd. We gon' give me something dope. White man out. Y'all call, put my on. Get it to end whoever falls. Cause I'm on. White man out. 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 Cause I'm on. Longer, I put that on her, but I had a flight to catch. White shirt, chest, pants, shoes. shoes, shoulder, chest, pants, 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 shoes, shoulder, chest.
Like that. Hell, can we go have on a baby? I'll be your freak, you be my lady. Cause it's your hips, your thighs, your lips, your eyes. Girl, would you be my private dancer? You're all I need, you got the answer. Girl, you're my heat, you're my fire. Cause it's your hips, your thighs, your lips, your eyes.
I like the way you move your body.
Move your body.